This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The human voice paints powerful pictures in the minds of listeners. Just listen to some of public radio's distinct voices. Have you ever heard them and imagined what they look like, or even guessed what kind of person they might be?
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. And now on to today's interview.
It's a typical camp. All the normal activities. There are two girls who everybody calls the homesick girls. We'll cheerfully identify themselves.
This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Leo, we don't do anything. Stop!
Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News.
Your voice is your auditory face, says a researcher at UCLA's Voice Perception Laboratory. That's one of the groups studying the effects and perception of the human voice, including its power over sexual allure, political credentials, and even earning potential. Vocal qualities perceived as attractive have been selected through evolutionary history, but also respond to cultural cues. Aspiring captains of industry, of media, and politicians like Margaret Thatcher, for example, have gone to great lengths to better match their voices to their desired public image. Tiffany O'Callaghan is opinion editor at New Scientist, and she wrote about the subtle and often inaccurate ways the voice influences perception. Tiffany, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, of course, we work in the medium of radio, and I often meet people who have pretty well-formed ideas of what Terry Gross or Sylvia Poggioli are like, often far off base. So what are some of the vocal cues that people use to form those pictures?
As you mentioned before, your voice is sort of your auditory face. There are so many different things that are conveyed by the voice that we use to form pictures of people just by hearing them speak. Pitch is a particularly strong indicator of gender. It gives us a rough idea of whether or not we're speaking to a man or a woman, because men generally speak, on average, about an octave lower than women. So that gives us a rough guide. Age, too, you can pick up in someone's voice. We tend to speak more slowly as we get older, and our voices tend to get a little bit deeper as well, particularly among women as we age. Also, muscle tone decreases. So as you age, your voice can sound a little bit breathier, or your articulation gets a little bit less precise. And then, of course, probably the most notable one is accent. Your accent tells a lot about where you grew up, perhaps where you were educated, all these different things. But accent can be a little bit dangerous, too, because if you use it as a shorthand, then you can fall into some pretty misleading stereotypes.
Well, let's dig into some of these. First pitch, we think of masculine voice low, feminine voice high, and lilting. Do we know how and why this happened? Why did we evolve this way?
It actually turns out that men developing deeper voices than women may have had something to do with women's preferences for that deeper voice. Even in surveys done today, women consistently prefer deeper voices among men. And if that was historically true, then evolutionarily, what may have happened is that men who had the deeper voices would have been more likely to have success with the ladies, as it were, and then be more likely to reproduce, and then those children, in turn, would have had deeper voices. Mm. So over time, men would have evolved to have consistently lower voices than women in the process that's known as sexual selection.
And I guess that can often be played to comic effect. I mean, we think of a big dude like Mike Tyson with his super high voice. Something just seems inconsistent about it.
Absolutely, yeah. And also there's something about the mismatch between your expectation of how deep someone's voice or high someone's voice is going to be that, as you mentioned, can play to comedic effect. You know, there are films such as Mrs. Doubtfire starring Robin Williams where these characters are playing someone of a different gender and their pitch clearly betrays them.
Euphrigenia Doubtfire, dear. I specialize in the education and entertainment of children.
Surprise.
You also write about research that shows slight changes in the female voice to signal fertility and hence attraction.
Some interesting research has been carried out in which they found that a woman's voice actually rises a tiny bit right before ovulation, and it actually takes on a sort of very subtle type of shimmer, and that they think that might have to do with the vocal cords becoming a little bit more moist in the lead up to ovulation. So it's this notion that biology is sort of enhancing your sex appeal right at the moment of ovulation.
So people can pick up on subtle sexual cues and maybe even paint pictures of what people look like. But what about the idea of character? Does the voice accurately convey character?
You know, that's a little bit trickier, particularly if you look into the political arena. We consistently tend to associate lower voices, deeper voices, with greater confidence and assertiveness and leadership ability. But that can be very challenging because at the same time, among women, as mentioned earlier, a higher voice is generally considered more attractive. So trying to figure out where you pitch your voice, as it were, as a female politician can be very difficult because you want to convey leadership qualities and confidence and so on, but you also don't want to do that at the expense of your appeal to voters, who can often be quite fickle and be making sort of snap judgments on first impressions.
Well, we have some sound that can illustrate that point. Here's Margaret Thatcher, who I mentioned earlier. This is her voice before she received coaching to train it to behave differently.
After all, I know I'm still only me, and so do my family. But I'm very much aware of the responsibilities and a little bit apprehensive. Who wouldn't be?
And now here is Margaret Thatcher after getting some vocal training.
I feel very strongly about it. The greatest divisions this nation has ever seen were the conflicts of trade unions.
A marked change in pitch there. So, Tiffany, what is the appeal of a lower voice for a woman?
It's quite interesting, actually. A researcher from the University of Miami called Casey Klofstad had a look at this to see how a woman's pitch influences her likelihood of success in politics. And he actually found that women and men alike consistently prefer politicians with deeper voices. And that holds true for both female and male political candidates. And he even found this to be the case when he was looking at roles that are more traditionally nurturing roles, as it were, ones that tend to have more women in them. So leadership roles on parent-teacher associations and things like this. And even in those roles, there wasn't a marked change. It was still a preference for women with lower voices.
Tiffany O'Callaghan is with us from New Scientist, and we're talking about the power of the human voice, how tones and pitch and accents can affect sex appeal, political power, even potential for earning a higher salary. And I want to go back to the example of Margaret Thatcher, who was, after all, a shopkeeper's daughter. And that leads to the question of accents, giving clues about country of origin or education or class in some cases. How does accent play into perception?
What's really interesting, actually, is in some of the research they found that you may start out with an initial impression of the prestige factor of a certain accent. So, for example, the sort of more standard British accent would be considered one of the most prestigious. Yet in some research done by Paddy Adank, who is now at University College London, she found that at the beginning of research, if people found the standard British accent to be the most prestigious and perhaps, say, a Glaswegian accent, so someone from Glasgow, to be less prestigious, if they actually had a go at speaking in the accent themselves, that changed. So, you know, trying it on for size yourself can change your perception and sort of alter the stereotype in which you'd place someone based on the way that they sound.
I'm thinking about some of the research that you wrote about that points to prestige in some way. I guess the 21st century version of being the alpha male would be the corporate CEO. What does research reveal about vocal quality and wielding power in the realm of business?
It's pretty stunning to see how much a difference it can make. You know, we already spoke about deeper voices being associated with greater confidence, more assertiveness, and so on. And clearly, in the at times cutthroat business world, that can make a big difference. And one study that looked at nearly 800 men in CEO roles in U.S. companies found that when everything else was the same, all other things being equal, those with the deeper voices earned up to $190,000 more per year in salary and other financial benefits.
Are there qualities that can be changed or altered with practice and some that can't?
There are some broad parameters. You know, the range of pitch that you can achieve with your voice is going to be fairly finite. There's only so much you can do. But within that range, you can move up and down when you're speaking. So there is some variability. But what it really comes down to is practice. I spoke with a vocal coach, Barbara Berkery, who's worked with numerous different actors on all sorts of Hollywood films. And she said that what really makes a difference in the credibility of the actor taking on a new accent and a new voice is the pure amount of work that they put into it. And she said one of the most famous examples of a success story of an American actress taking on a British accent is Renee Zellweger portraying Bridget Jones in Bridget Jones' Diary.
You're haughty and you always say the wrong thing in every situation. I seriously believe that you should rethink the length of your sideburns.
Barbara Berkery was actually the voice coach who worked with her, and she said that before she ever set foot on set, she spent 2 solid months just working on this accent.
Tiffany O'Callaghan, opinion editor at New Scientist. She wrote the article Voice Almighty. A pleasure speaking with you and listening to you, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me.
You can find more on the research behind the power and perception of the human voice at wordofmouthradio.org. And we would love to hear from you. Who do you think has a powerful or persuasive vocal quality? You can sound out yourself on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio.